Well, even those of us who do not know much about scouting probably know that the scout motto is be prepared. To quote my old copy of the scout handbook, a scout never lets himself be caught by surprise. The scout motto means that you are always ready in mind and body to do your duty and to face danger if necessary in order to help others. Now, as I said earlier, both of my sons were Eagle Scouts. My son John, both of them, including my son John, went on a lot of hikes and camping trips, and that experience prepared him for the adventure I'm about to tell you, which happened after he had been a scout. During the summer, right after his junior year in college, he went with one of his college professors to do research in Egypt. And then he went alone down south in Africa to Kenya and took a hiking trip up Mount Kenya, which is one of the highest mountains in Africa. And he had gotten all the way with his, the people with who were with him, had gotten almost all the way to the top. It was the highest he'd ever been in his life, except in an airplane, and he got altitude sickness, which causes vomiting and a severe headache. And the only way to cure it is to get down to a lower altitude. So as fast as he could, he went down the mountain, and he was alone going down the mountain. And before dark, he had gotten down low enough that his sickness had stopped. But he was on a part of the mountain that he was unfamiliar to him. There were no trails there. And he was still so high up that it got cold enough at night that it could freeze you to death if you wore normal clothing. But he had brought the four things he needed to be prepared to handle that and to get to safety. He had a compass and a topographical map, and he had the skills that he learned in scouting, and he had a thermal blanket. He had considered several times leaving that blanket behind because it took up space in his backpack. And he had never used it before, but he thought, I better keep it in case I need it. And when he needed it, he was prepared. And so he was able to sleep warmly during the night, and the next morning he was able to find his way to a trail that led him down the mountain. He was prepared. Once there were 10 bridesmaids, Jesus said, and they all went out to meet the bridegroom and join his procession into the wedding banquet in the home of the bride. But five were prepared and five were not. Five brought extra oil for their lamps and five did not. And because the bridegroom was late arriving, the five who were unprepared had to go and buy more oil for their lamps, and by the time they came back, the wedding procession had entered the house, the doors to the wedding feast were closed, and no one would open the door for them, no matter how loudly they cried. So be prepared. Be sure you have enough oil for your lamps. Now, Jesus told this story about one specific future event for which we should all be prepared, the second coming of Christ, when he will destroy all evil and when he will establish his kingdom of righteousness and peace and love and justice here on earth. When will this happen? His disciples asked. No one knows except the Father, Jesus said. Not human beings, not angels in heaven, not even Jesus himself. Christ will burst into the world when he is unexpected, and he will catch people off guard. But this passage, this story, is not just a story about Christ's second coming. It's also about all the other opportunities that God gives us throughout our lives. At any moment, God may call you to do this or do that. Be prepared to act when God calls. Be alert. Be awake. See that you're able to seize the opportunities that God gives you whenever they come. When I was in school, I learned that there are two kinds of teachers. Now I realize there are other ways to classify teachers, but when you're in school, this classification is pretty important. Some teachers call on you in some sort of order, but other teachers call on you completely at random. In Mrs. Law's class, I was always called on to answer questions right after Martha Boynton, because Miss Law went down the road and Brownlee came right after Boynton on her roll. In Miss Whitmore's class, I was always called on to answer questions right after Oscar Mabry, because Miss Whitmore went down the row and Oscar sat right in front of me in the row. But Miss Dunlap was different. She could call on me to answer a question anytime, because she called on people completely at random. She might call on me to answer a question right after she called on a girl across the room whose name began with R. So in Miss Dunlap's class, I had to be prepared all the time. I had to pay attention to every question. Well, there are certain events in life that are predictable. We know when they are coming. We know when to get prepared for them. But there are also crises and opportunities that come up without warning. And so we have to be prepared all the time. And Christ's second coming is like that. And many of the opportunities that God gives us are like that. In the Bible, there are two concepts of time. One is clock time, signified by the Greek word chronos. The other is opportune time, or the right time, signified by the Greek word kairos. What time is it? Clock time. It's time to plant tomatoes. Opportune time. 11 o'clock, time for worship, clock time. It's time for all of us to get on our knees and pray, opportune time. Work begins at 7 o'clock, be there on time, clock time. This is the right time to get that job done, opportune time. Now in the Bible, opportune time is far more important than clock time. In fact, clock time is hardly mentioned at all in the Bible. But opportune time is God's time, the time in which God acts and God gives us opportunities. Paying attention to clock time is a relatively modern thing. Most pre-modern people didn't carry around watches, but they still knew when was the right time to get things done. On the other hand, many of us today have become slaves to clock time. We rush from this to that, from here to there, and we have more to do than we have time for. Now, often some of the most important things get left out. We know we need to do them, but we never get around to them. Someday I'm going to spend more time with my family. When I get around to it, I'm going to begin a regular program of Bible study and prayer. when I have more time, I'm going to do more to help my neighbor. It's easy to make resolutions about things we want to do, but never to get around to doing them. But not to decide is to decide. Postponing decisions is to decide. To postpone action is often to fail to do something that we need to do now. But the doors to the wedding feast can close. The chance to go in is gone forever. Opportunities that are here now can pass away. I should have spent more time with my daughter. Maybe things would be different now. But it's too late. Boy, was Joan's funeral depressing. You know, I wanted to talk to her about the way her life was going. She seemed so discouraged. But I never had enough time. I wish I had spent more time paying attention in math class. It sure would make it easier for me to do what I'm being asked to do now on my job. Lee McLaughlin was my football coach at Washington and Lee. Some of you may have known him. He was the father of the Lee McLaughlin who teaches at Rockridge County High School now. And Coach Mack told us, run every play in the game as if it is the last play that you will ever run. Jesus says, live every day as if it is the last day that you will ever live. It may be. Make every day count. Make every moment count. Now, my purpose in preaching this sermon is not to fill your hearts with regret because of the opportunities that you have missed. My purpose is to announce to you that there are many doors that are still open. There are opportunities that are available to you now, and others will arise. If you needed 5 years ago to give more attention to your child or your grandchild or your spouse, well, you've lost 5 good years. But hopefully that opportunity still exists. So begin now. If you felt 5 years ago called to work for better schools or better race relations or some other social goal and you have not done it, well, you missed 5 good years. But that opportunity still exists. So begin now. If you should have started studying harder years ago, but have not done it, you've missed some good years, but you still can do it. Begin now. If you have wanted for many years to give your life more completely to Jesus Christ, to trust and follow Him with greater dedication, but you have not done that, you've lost a lot of joy, a lot of opportunity for good service, but you can start now. The doors are still open. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh God, thank you for all the opportunities you give us as individuals and as a church. Help us to make the most of them. In the name of Christ, amen.